Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
He's one of our favorite guys. We get to talk to him every week from the NFL Network. From John Boy Media, Mr. Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
What's happening, Chris?
Hello, gentlemen.
By the way, NFL Game Day Final, my favorite show. Have I mentioned that, by the way?
I appreciate it very much. Every time you mention it, I don't take it lightly.
Well,
thank you.
You guys do a phenomenal job.
Thank you. We had a lot of fun. We've had a lot to talk about recently, but it's going to be interesting because there's not that many teams on the outside looking in that have a realistic shot. So, you know, basically it's coming down to the AFC North, the NFC South, and then who wins that NFC West for the one or the five seed. So that could be fascinating.
We probably didn't expect the Browns to go to Chicago and win that football game. Chris, I didn't expect the Browns to go to Chicago and have it be 31-3 and for the Browns to look as poorly as they did. Were you surprised?
I don't know if I can be surprised anymore, to be honest with you, with whatever we're going to see. Disappointed. It was a horrific watch. Really bad on a lot of levels. The offensive line we trotted out there was
challenged.
How do I tread lightly here?
Challenged.
It was just horrific. It was a bad watch. And for people who are like, well, they faced a really good defense. No, they didn't. I'm telling you, the Bears' defense is not great. They are opportunistic. They live via the turnover. They're okay in a lot of areas. That is not a great defense. There's way better defenses out there. And, in fact, we've played some. You want to go watch a good defense, go watch the Houston Texans. Yeah. That's a great defense. The Bears' defense is okay. But, you know, it's just kind of the situation we're in. And, you know, I think thank goodness for Shador in terms of interest level the last 3 weeks, right? Because you do want to see if he can bounce back from poor games, which he did from week two to week three as a starter. Can he do it now from week five, you know, from week four? So we'll see.
Do you see Shador Sanders as a viable starting quarterback for next season for the Cleveland Browns?
I don't know. And for people that say definitely no, like they definitely know yes, or they definitely say no, I don't think we can answer. And guys, this is the thing that when he started to be the starting quarterback, we don't have the talent around him to do a full evaluation on him. We just don't. And it's what's going to make it so challenging. The other part of this is, you know, we know that Mendoza is available. Is Moore going to come out? Like, those are the only two you would consider. And how strongly do you need to consider him? Because there is so much work left to be done with this team. And it's not a question of waiting, building your team, and then dropping in a quarterback. That doesn't happen. It just so rarely happens. Like, the last time I can remember something like that is Josh Allen-ish. If you remember, the Bills made the playoffs the year before, and they lost in like a horrible 10-3 game to Jacksonville. Remember that with Tyrod as the quarterback? And then the next year, they went and got Josh Allen. But that's about it. Like, the Patriots, no, that's not what they did. They drafted Drake May first. He was the only shining star of a horrific draft class. And then this year, they fixed everything else around him and allowed his talents to shine, because he did have major talent. I'm telling you, I've told you this. I called two of their games last year. You could tell. The guy had it. So
Shador just had his press conference, Chris, and he's made some comments that I thought this guy gets it, and he's not blowing sunshine, you know, where many guys could. Among the other things, he said, "I just have to play better. The mental side and the progress is there." So it's an admission that he was working on things. "I just have to get more completions." We all know that. To hear him say it, thank you. "And have I been playing winning football?" He said no. And I'm glad that he's self-aware enough to just say, "Hey, I've got to do these things." And that's the first step in the right direction for me.
Totally. I mean, I've been impressed with that. There's no question. And I can even live with the mistakes. Like, he's a rookie quarterback. They all make mistakes. Guys who are in their fifth year make mistakes. Guys that are in their 10th year make mistakes. They don't always see the field. They throw into double coverage when a guy was wide open. Like, all that sort of stuff happens. So the question is, can he get better? Can he bounce back this week? The thing I was excited about going into the final month was that he was going to be playing three teams who all had something to play for. You know, the Bears, the Bills, the Steelers. Those are huge, huge games. And that's great. That's great for his learning. I mean, here's the thing. Like, where I sit right now with this whole thing is I would be okay with them giving him the reins for next year and then seeing whether or not they struck on something. I like Mendoza. I do. I think he's tough as hell, like Shador. I am impressed with his late game heroics. I think he throws the ball pretty well. But where does he max out on? I don't know. It's a hard thing. If you say you've got Jared Goff, wouldn't you take him?
Yes.
Right. Like, how, and then the other point, the other thing is about Shador. How good does he have to be in order for you to stick with him?
Yeah.
Like, would you take Jameis Winston's career? Would you, like, that ability? Jameis could make every throw in the book, but he'd also throw it to the other team a gazillion times. So I don't know what it is in my brain that I'd be okay with Shador ending up being in order for this team. Like, for people who are saying, "Well, he's better than Dylan Gabriel." Folks, that ain't the answer you're looking for. I can tell you that one. That is not the answer you're looking for.
Chris Rose joining us. You can hear him on Baseball Today, John Boy Media. Of course, watch him on the NFL Network as well. Chris, it's looking like Myles Garrett now a sack away from breaking the sack record. How impressive would that be if he did it against Josh Allen?
It'd be impressive if he did it against anybody. I mean, teams for the most part aren't throwing it 40 times a game against us. So he's just, let's accept it for what it is. He's the best defensive player we have ever had. He's our second best player in the history of the franchise. He's remarkable. He's remarkable, and we just hope he doesn't turn into this sport's version of Mike Trout. So, you know, you just wonder how much he's about to be 30, and you hope that he has another couple years that are still at this level or close to it, to the point where we can get back in this thing. That's all. He's awesome. He's incredible. And we're lucky that we get to see that part of it. And we deserve that too.
Chris Rose joining us, not only with the NFL Network, but with John Boy Media, Baseball Today. I'm going to go baseball on you. I am not surprised, but I was hoping I would have been surprised the other way. The big moves for the Guardians, adding bullpen arms so far. Anything more? And you think there's going to be any kind of anything that makes any splash for this organization this offseason?
I mean, if they don't get a right-handed bat in the outfield to at least be a platoon guy, I think that's a wasted offseason. Now, does that mean it's going to end up being like an Austin Hayes? A Rob Refsnyder, you know, guys like that. It could be. Like, those guys can help your team. They definitely can. I don't think that we're in the major splash category, and that's too bad. It just is. I don't know their finances. I am not the owner. I'm not privy to his philosophy and his thought process, but it's really challenging because that is a good team with good people running the organization. And I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it. But you're catching me on a frustrating day, guys.
Sorry, pal.
I understand. I got MLB Network on in front of me. They're talking Ketel Marte, and I'm just immediately getting grumpy because I know they won't be involved in a Ketel Marte trade. And I'm like, that would be the perfect dude. He's an under market value contract, and he gets MVP votes every year. Hi, bring him in.
Yeah, now that would be, I think actually we would match up pretty well with what Arizona's looking for. So I think that talent-wise, like we have young, controllable starting pitching, which is what they want. Mm-hmm. We would probably have to trade Bezzana in that deal, is my guess. You know, maybe even a DeLauder instead, you know, somebody like that. But also one of our young guys that's in our rotation. I'm not talking about Gavin Williams. Not that level. The next level down.
Yeah, Bidey. Somebody along those lines. Maybe Parker Messick. I don't even know if he's got that high of a value, but nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, guys like that. I mean, that's where the discussion starts because Ketel Marte is a power-hitting, switch-hitting, 900 OPS guy. That's pretty impressive at that position.
So my man crush Pete Alonso goes to Baltimore. Anybody in Baltimore you want here? Mountcastle?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I don't want that. Good dude. I like him. I just don't think that's. Yeah, I mean,
hasn't built on early success.
Yeah, you're not going to get their best guys for what we have available pitching wise. Unless you were to trade them Gavin Williams, which would be nuts. I wouldn't do that. You know, you're not going to get Jordan Westberg. You're not going to get, I don't think that there's anybody else right-handed that you would want on that team. So, you know, everybody else that they've got is left-handed hitting, you know, whether that's Jackson Holliday or Colton Cowser. All those guys are, and don't even bring up Gunnar Henderson's name. So,
no.
Nope.
Lars Nootbaar or Brandon Donovan do anything for you?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Brendan Donovan's pretty good. I like him. I like his versatility. But, you know, he's a good, solid player, I think. And I think he would make our team better. I really do. But, you know, I don't know, guys. I still think, depending on how this whole thing shakes out with Kyle Tucker, and I don't know. I can't figure out if Teoscar Hernandez is on the move or not. I still think there's a possibility that Kwan gets traded. I really do. I still think that there's a shot for that. And I know I had a big blow up in the middle of the season about why we wouldn't do that. But right now, I would think about it depending on what the return is.
Diamondbacks for Ketel Marte. All right, let's get it in.
Dan's ready. Chris, thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Always appreciate it.
We've been following college quarterbacks throughout the season. And we've not done it every week, but we've given, I think, everybody a pretty good feel for what might be coming out and what might not be coming out. But that has changed here in the last week or so. And so we're going to do it again, by golly, because I was convinced, Dan was convinced, I think Mary Kay Cabot was all on board when the Browns made the trade with Jacksonville and picked up an extra first-rounder for this draft, in a draft that at the beginning of the season, everybody thought there could be five or six first-round quarterbacks in this draft. We thought the Browns were taking a quarterback.
Absolutely. So Nussmeier, Aller.
I'm not so sure anymore.
Arch.
I'm not so sure. And you now need a scorecard to keep track of who's where and who's doing what. So we're going to do that. Real quick look at NFLDraftBuzz.com's rankings now for the quarterbacks coming out. And there are guys in the rankings who weren't there at the beginning of the year. Their number one rated quarterback is Dante Moore, Oregon. Number two is Fernando Mendoza, Indiana. Number three is Ty Simpson from Alabama. And then they go four to Garrett Nussmeier, who I know you liked from LSU.
Yeah, but he had a season from hell.
He sure did. And he's 6'1". Sorry, I've had enough. And Jaden Maiva from Southern Cal, number five. And Lenora Sellers, the guy I like a lot, is number six.
Interesting. So Mateer a little bit farther down the list, along Mateer with is the kid number from eight. Cincinnati.
He's number eight, Mateer is. And Sorsby from Cincinnati is number 11. Carson Beck has dropped at 12. So that's where they are. Mateer's at 8. And Sam Levitt, the kid from Arizona State's at 7.
Interesting.
But now, the one thing about these rankings that they're not taking into account, some of these guys have already said they're coming back. And one is Lenora Sellers, who's going back to Southern Cal. I think that's a good idea. He's only
South
20.
Carolina.
He's only. Thank you, SC.
I had
two SCs in front of me, and I read the wrong one. Sellers going back to South Carolina. He's only 20. And South Carolina this year went 4-8.
And normally I wouldn't do that, but because of this portal, we're in a world where we kind of have to have that.
Yeah. He's going back.
Because it wouldn't shock me at the slightest if all of a sudden I looked over and went, oh, Lenora Sellers is Southern California, right on.
Well,
that makes sense.
He says he's going back to South Carolina.
They've got money out there. Now, the question is are they going to get him weapons around there so that he looks better? Because last year he was not exactly throwing to the creme de la creme.
So, to me, that's one guy who I actually would have thought of taking with one of those first-round picks, if I'm the Browns, with the idea with Sellers, okay, he is sitting, and I am developing. He would have sat a year because he's only 20 years old.
I would love to live in a world where you could have drafted Lenora Sellers and had him sit for a year.
Yep.
But that world doesn't exist
in
Cleveland.
Well, might not in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Arch Manning is going back to Texas.
Smart move for Arch.
That's why he's not in those rankings. He already said he's going back. Good idea. What does that mean? It means the two guys that I liked most out of this possible draft class aren't coming out. Those were my two top guys. And they weren't top like, this is the best quarterback right now. They were top as in, I'm projecting these dudes at the NFL level. And they were the two guys that I thought, if I had to draft a guy, that's the guy I would try to develop. And they're both going back, which screams 2027. Okay, keep that in mind. Also, Brendan Sorsby from Cincinnati, who we mentioned earlier in the show, 2 years at Indiana, then they had a coaching change, and then 2 years at Cincinnati. He's entering the portal. He's not coming out. That's a third guy who could end up being a first-round draft choice in 2027, who's going back to school. And no word yet on Dante Moore at Oregon. He has not made his decision known yet. He plays James Madison in the first round of the playoffs coming up on Saturday. His mom, by the way, is from Logan, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And Moore's from where? Wasn't he from Elyria? Born in Elyria?
Yep, outside of Elyria.
And he grew up outside of Detroit. So that's the word. Right now, if you take a look at some mock drafts, and so this leaves guys like Mendoza, Simpson, Nussmeier.
Simpson's the one I got circled. I wonder if he comes out and has a couple good games with Alabama in the playoff, and Alabama goes a little deeper after getting in when everybody thought they should have been the team out, Notre Dame should have been in. I wonder if he raises his draft stock, and if you see that guy decide to declare, because he does have eligibility left. They do have a five-star on that roster, a five-star quarterback. that Alabama picked up that I could easily see Kalen DeBoer wanting to see.
And you've even heard Simpson's name thrown into transfer talk.
Right. If he might hop in the portal.
Right.
So, and especially with all these guys and the way this quarterback thing is going, I would tell you until ink hits paper and that last deadline day passes, assume that any of these guys can easily change their mind.
And then you have Diego Pavia, the kid from Vanderbilt, who came out after losing the Heisman Trophy and went to social media and said, F the voters.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you very much.
And then proceeded to go clubbing throughout New York with that same general message.
I'll have Johnny Manziel for 300, please, Alex.
I'm cool. Yeah, I was good.
And he's about, what, 5'11", Dan?
Something along those lines.
I'm not going there again.
Scouts were saying as well that he was probably going to go undrafted anyhow.
This organization trouble itself.
I'm good.
Yep,
I'm
going to pass.
Thank you for making Vandy fun. Thank you for beating Alabama so that we could watch the goalposts get paraded down Broadway and thrown in the river.
Couldn't agree more.
Appreciate you.
So, with these guys going back, who might not have been ready to come in and be your franchise quarterback in year one, but certainly were guys you could develop and think, this is our guy long term, it changes this draft. And I'm going to give you three mock drafts real quick. SB Nation. Number one pick, Jets training up to get Fernando Mendoza.
Makes sense.
8-2, Raiders taking Dante Moore from Oregon. They're assuming he's coming out. The only other quarterback in the first round for SB Nation is Ty Simpson at 31 to the Rams.
Take him with the fifth-year option. Not a bad way to go.
Right, 31. But that's something to think about. CBS Sports mock draft number one, Jets trading up to get Fernando Mendoza. By the way, could the Jets and Giants actually make a trade and give the Jets a number one overall pick and take a quarterback? Goodness.
New York would implode.
Number two, same thing, Dante Moore, Oregon. They have the top two guys, same two teams trading. They have the Browns taking Jordan Tyson, by the way, the wide receiver.
I'm in.
And
sounds awesome.
Let's go. And they pass on Carnell Tate, who went fifth. But then later on in the draft, they have an offensive lineman coming to the Browns, and that Jacksonville pick is just plummeted. Right now, it's number 28. They have Gennings Dunker, the offensive tackle from Iowa. Mm-hmm. And the only other quarterback they have going in the first round, they have the Rams taking Garrett Nussmeier. And then they also have they have Simpson going where? Simpson going 20 to the Steelers. So they have four guys in the first round, but only Andy two at the top, and then 20 and 31.
Andy would be heartbroken. That would just be another hurdle for Howard.
That's exactly. That'd be terrible. And then
I'd have to hug him.
CBS Sports, same thing. Jets trading up to get Mendoza, and Dante Moore going two to the ring. And they have the Browns taking Carnell Tate.
You like Fernando Mendoza?
I've watched some, but not a ton of him.
No, that's fine.
What I've seen is this. Seems to throw the ball on out patterns a lot.
Yeah.
I don't see him rip it down the field as often. I'd like to see somebody rip it down the field, but by complete admission, I haven't seen enough of him to say he doesn't do that well. You've described him this way, and when I was watching him, I couldn't get the thought out of my head.
Sorry.
He's Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with being Kirk Cousins,
by heavens
the way.
No.
He's a little more athletic than Cousins is. But that's not a slam.
Yeah, he's not Josh Allen. He's not Lamar Jackson.
If everything around him is functioning, he can raise the boat. You know, he can help.
Yeah.
He can help the cause if everything around him is functioning. If some of the things around him are not functioning, I don't know if he can raise it.
CBS Sports has Ty Simpson going at 10 to the Rams with the Atlanta Falcons pick that they picked up, which I think is an interesting thought. So there's three quarterbacks from CBS going in the first round, and that is it for CBS in the first round. They have the Browns taking Caleb, is it Lemieux, whatever his name is. He's the 6'6 offensive tackle from Utah. They have two tackles, and they have the Browns taking one of those guys.
I think it is Lemieux. I think it's how you say
so
it.
So this is...
Don't hold me to that, though.
So this comes back to the Browns. If they're not one or two, Dan... They're not getting one of the two quarterbacks that everybody is prognosticating as being a high pick in this draft. And after that, it's a crapshoot. And after that, I'm not wasting two first-round picks on a crapshoot quarterback when I have Deshaun Watson, Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, Bailey Zappi, or fill-in-the-blank other veteran quarterback I can play and kick it down the road for 2027, where maybe Shedeur has shown me that he can be the guy. or that I don't think Dylan Gabriel's going to show you he can be the guy, but he's there. And or maybe you sign a young veteran free agent and he's the guy, or you put yourself in a position, maybe you trade down from where you are and pick up another pick for next year, where you might be able to go up and get Arch Manning. You might be able to go up and get Lenora Sellers. Another thought I have, but it's this. Local guy, big body, big arm, knee injury, Drew Aller. If you don't take your quarterback, and I've said this all year, so I'm not going to change it now. If you don't draft your quarterback in the top 10, you're not drafting a franchise quarterback who you think, yep, this is our guy.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to get Drew Aller in the second round. I don't think you'd get him in the third. You might be able to. And that's a guy who you could come in and truly say, hey, hi, welcome. You're going to rehab and you're going to sit. And we're going to teach you, and you might end up being able to be the guy here.
Put him on the Shador plan. I'm in. That makes total sense.
I'd put him on the Jordan Love plan.
Hand him, maybe not
for 3 years, but...
Well, it's easier to do that when you, A, have a team around him that is functioning and a quarterback functioning with him,
and B,
let's be really, really honest, when you don't have an owner. It's really easy to do that when you don't have somebody at the top going, you drafted this guy high, why the hell isn't he playing?
Yeah. I just, if there's a guy that you could draft and you could get lucky on and sit and develop, it might be Drew Aller. And the injury is a big part of that reason why. So we'll see what happens there. But that's why I no longer think the Browns are going to draft a quarterback in the first round next year. Only way that changes, Dana, if somehow the Giants, Jets, Raiders win some games to close out here and the Browns don't. And the Browns actually put themselves in position to draft either Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore. I don't see him trading up to get one of those guys. But we'll see. Things can change.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.